I'm just here for a minute, so don't freak out. Freshmen, for those of you that have no idea what's going on, most of the upperclassmen get it by now. These are some of the voices of the SGA worship leaders that we have been worshiping under before, and those are some of their famous songs. So as we begin to kind of set aside the potential legacy that we might have for the next SGA, that's just kind of what we're celebrating, just the voices of SGA in the past. So this time is just going to be super chill. I just wanted to wrap up a nice semester. This has been a wonderful time for most of us. Hopefully it's been at least a 6 out of 10 for you. That's an inside joke. There's no way you would get that. So I just wanted to wrap up all the things that we've been talking about. We've been in a series called, For His Glory. There we go. I'm on the ball today, guys. So we've been talking about the book of Philippians, and just all I wanted to get Cedarville to do is have this unified, joyful disposition all pointed towards the glory of God for what he's done in the gospel. So my favorite chapter of the entire Bible, Philippians 1, has this verse in it, in verse 20, where it talks about, I'll give some context. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that Christ, now as always, will be glorified in my body, whether by life or by death. Cedarville, that's the charge that I give to you. As this year comes to a close, as we go into the summer, there are going to be moments where you're in some other environment that's not the Cedarville bubble. And for those of you that are staying here, the bubble's just totally different, and you know that. There's a culture here where it is so easy to glorify God, whether in false pretense or in truth. We all know the language. We all know the things that need to be said for you to be a Christian at Cedarville. Just don't wear sweatpants to Chuck's on Sundays. Like, everyone knows that you went to church, even if you didn't. Pastor Pillow, he's a great guy, but, you know, you got to go to church. So all I want us to come away with is this unashamed, God-glorifying joy that leads to unity towards one another. Verse 27 of chapter 1 talks about us conducting our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I'll know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Verse 29, for it's been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. This is the passage where we talked about unity and striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Because there are moments in your life, in your time at Cedarville, either in the past or in the present, in the future, that you're going to be going through some tough things. Exams are coming up and stress is through the roof. That's not going to be good for your roommate relationships. That's not going to be good for your relationships with your boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, significant other, parents, professors, perhaps, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. This is a time where we need to stick together and build one another up instead of tearing each other down. And that comes to the time where you have to say something that's really uncomfortable. Seniors, you might never see some of these people here again, but God has given you a really unique opportunity to speak into certain people's lives. He's placed specific people next door to you, down the hall, in some of your classes, sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you in chapel, at your work. What are you going to do with those opportunities? Are you going to glorify God and enjoy him forever? And you're going to exalt him by going out of your comfort zone a little bit so that they can follow this book and see the glory that you know, have the joy and the hope that you have? Or are you going to walk by and want to be in this comfortable place? Want to go about and just get your classes done, do your work? Christianity is not a lonely religion. It's one of building one another up. It's one of pointing each other towards the gospel glory of God that we know. So for those of you that aren't Christians in this place, for those of you that have come through the whole year and have seen, hopefully, a different culture at Cedarville than what you're used to, there's something that you need to reconcile with. This Jesus guy that we've been talking about, he is the one that was in the very nature of God. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found as appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That glory is something that's going to happen whether or not we reconcile with our Savior. God will get his glory because he's worthy of it. That's what we just sang about. What Jesus came to the earth to do is to give you an opportunity to bow down and worship, to be thankful, to accept this gift that he has held out for you. He decided to lay aside all of the treasures and the glory that was due his name in Jesus Christ for a time. He laid them aside in humility and came as the God-man to reconcile and hold out life to dead people, spiritual riches to the spiritually poor. And that is not something that we can just sit aside and be complacent about. Ephesians 2 talks about the work that was done in our lives, taking us from this dead place without God and without hope in the world. But God, he made us alive. He raised us up with Christ. He seated us in the heavenly places. And as we are his wonderful, masterful creation in this new life, we've been made for good works. And this gospel is something that needs to be shared. Because if you've genuinely been changed by the gospel, you know that other people need to be changed by this gospel. So I want you to confess your sins with brothers, because by no means does this gospel mean that we're perfect now. Take advantage of the intercessor that we have before heaven. And by no means try and work through this salvation for yourself. Because in chapter 3, we talked about having no confidence in the flesh. Paul had this entire resume, but he considers everything as lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He had this eager expectation. He was eagerly awaiting the Savior that was coming from heaven to reconcile with him and give him this new heavenly body that is our reality. When you see the brokenness in the world, recognize that there is an eternal hope waiting for us. And isn't that so beautiful? Everyone turn to your neighbor and just say, God is good. Turn to your other neighbor and don't let them feel left out. God is good. So we have this glorious reality. Our God is good. He has come to do incredible things for us. And he tells us to rejoice in the Lord always because of this reality that he has sealed for us. So I pray, Cedarville, that as you leave this place, you don't leave just complacent. You don't take God just when bad things are coming along and you question why he's not making your life better. Because oftentimes we only pray when we feel that God is not there. But I pray that we would draw ever near to this glorious God and we would rejoice always. that we would not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And verse 19 of chapter 4 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Band, if you want to come on up. Cedarville, thanks for bearing with me. Sorry, I'm sick. But I'm up here because, number one, this is just like a really unique time, and, you know, it's kind of a once-in-a-life opportunity, so I got to take it. Second, there's something really important in this book. And all year, this is the only thing that I've wanted you guys to hear. It's not something that you need to be perfect to dig into, because our God is perfect, and he's worth all of your devotion, all of your time, all of your prayers, all of your love towards one another. So please, please don't leave this place without reconciling with this beautiful truth and clinging to it for the rest of your days.